Hi, friends. So nice today to be hearing from Darcy and Leanne, Chris and Heather, and of course, hear from Ryan as he encourages new and next steps towards our involvement in global work. It's so good to be talking about these things. Allow me to read with you a passage today from Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 to 10 in the New Living Translation. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." Verse 8. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go into the fields." And while they were in the fields, Cain attacked his brother, Abel, and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I do not know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Well, at first glance, perhaps this story seems like a sibling rivalry that ends in tragedy, something that we would see on Netflix. But it's actually so much more than that. Siblings. My sibling is 7 years older than I am, and she always has been. Okay, that was a little bit of a joke. She's older than I am. And certainly in those younger years, I was to her the annoying little brother. Perhaps I still am. My sister would often handle her annoyance with me by ignoring me in silence. And I look back upon her approach as something actually which baited me. I recall one night when I knew she was coming home a little later, I went into the kitchen and grabbed a box of cornflakes, and I went into her room and I rubbed them all together and I laid them out evenly upon her bed and then placed the bedspread on top of her, knowing that in just a few minutes, my sister would be entering into a bed full of cornflakes. Well, what happened? Again, her approach, again, was silence is the best revenge. And I guess looking back on it, I suppose it worked because for weeks I was a little terrified of her retribution. Well, this passage in Genesis chapter 4 is not about necessarily simply sibling rivalry. I want to suggest that as we look into this passage, I think we will see that this passage, this story, is a story about being called to human responsibility and carries with it very early on in the book of Genesis a prophetic promise for the world. So again, let's get this story into a bit more of a context to appreciate some of the language and some of the lessons. So again, at the beginning of Genesis, of course, the world is called into existence. God saw that all that he had made was good. The world and everything on and in the world was created to be a benefactor of God's goodness. And you may know the first few chapters of Genesis. Within a short period of time, Adam and Eve had eaten of a forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. And for the sake of their protection and family's protection, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. In the midst of their wandering, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain, a farmer of sorts, and of course, Abel, a shepherd. In this story, we see that a time had come for Cain and Abel to participate in a religious ceremony that would require of them to offer to God their best or their first fruit of their individual work. And as we read in the text, God is pleased with Abel, the shepherd's offering, but not with Cain, the farmer's offering. And so the story goes, despite the warnings, Cain fails to master his evil nature and murders his brother Abel. Wow. It's quite a story to read, and it's quite a story to review. It seems that a lot happens very quickly in this story, in just a few verses. Things that we don't really see coming. If we are to see this as a simple sibling rivalry, we go, wow, things escalated very, very quickly. We don't see a murder happening and the tragedy that follows. And we don't see in advance a parallel story of God's kindness that answers some very profound questions about human responsibility and God. So what do I mean by those loftier questions? Right after Cain killed his brother, Genesis chapter 4, verse 9 records God asking Cain a question. Where is your brother? To which Cain says, I don't know. Well, as you read different people's perspective on this passage, it's no secret that there's a lot of speculation around some of these answers. And a lot of speculation, perhaps, about why Cain evaded the obvious question, knowing he had the obvious answer. Cain has several unjustified motives for murdering his brother Abel. The most obvious motive would be jealousy and God accepting Abel's offering over Cain's. Certainly because of God's action, the normal hierarchy in the home of the firstborn and younger child that's turned upside down. As the firstborn son, Cain would typically hold legitimate authority over his brother Abel. And by the normal rule of family, his sacrifice would have been accepted first. But as we see in the story, God defies normal expectations and he turns the whole thing upside down. Somehow God was using a little bit of a different measuring stick, and Cain was on the short end of that and quite in some ways caught off guard by the events. Cain was guilty of an offense. And now he was carrying the guilt of that offense and the guilt of the murder of his brother. So the inversion of these roles adds depth to Cain's response when God asks after the murder, where's your brother Abel? I mean, of course Cain knew where his brother Abel was. He had killed him, perhaps even laid him to rest. But perhaps, and this is where the story offers a bit more insight. Perhaps Cain answering, I do not know, was more about, I do not know what's actually happening here in this story, in this narrative. Perhaps this is Cain raising his hand with the question, please help me understand. Perhaps it was actually an honest answer, not a dishonest answer. Cain didn't know where Abel was in the story anymore. God had preferred him over Cain's. Unheard of. He didn't know where God was at in this story because of his rejection of his gift and his acceptance of Abel's. He didn't know where Cain was himself, where he stood with God, because he wasn't being honored as the firstborn of Adam and Eve. Perhaps then in his response, I do not know, am I my brother's guardian? Or the New International Version says, am I my brother's keeper? Although seems a little cheeky and a little sarcastic, perhaps it's actually very, very profound, prophetic view of the gospel, which ties beautifully into this service's concern for global work. As we study the word guardian in the New Living Translation, the word keeper in the New International Version, another translation, a new narrative is being heard very early on in the human story. This narrative does not remove the guilt of murder. We see that later. But it does cast vision for a relationship with God that is promising in the midst of sinful action, human pain and loss, and human need. And that's good news. So Cain asks the question, am I my brother's keeper, guardian? This question is not a new question. This question has been used by prolific leaders many, many times and on many, many occasions to rally people towards good human cause. But I'd suggest today that in some ways, this verse has often been used out of biblical context. To answer and appreciate the question, am I my brother's keeper or guardian, we have to consider the true meaning of these words. To be a keeper of someone, in its meaning, is to assume a role on behalf of another. It means to preserve a life, to care at all times for another, to protect, to store up goodness and generosity, and to disperse goodness and generosity. It means to watch over the life of someone all the time, protecting, never sleeping, and constantly being on guard for the well-being of someone. See, the role of keeper, as you get down into the minutiae of the word, is actually a role only reserved for God because of his capacity to keep on doing good all the time. And furthermore, is rooted in God's desire to bring goodness to all of creation. This is a good thing. This is good news. This is the gospel being heard in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. Cain, a guilty brother killer, is sharing appreciation, however, in casting a vision because of a pressing need for God to be his family's keeper because of how messed up they were. He and his family, Adam and Eve, now wanderers, so removed from God's best, standing in a place of great need, and yet now looking for God to be their keeper and provider, needing grace, needing mercy, asking God to preserve them. They needed God to be their keeper. So early on, Cain was declaring God to be the human keeper and guardian. And here, by example, is throwing himself upon the mercy of God, trusting that God would preserve him and his family, and that the goodness of God would be found by them, regardless of his mistake and sin of killing his brother, to which he was very guilty. Cain, perhaps, is honestly and realistically admitting, I'm not the keeper of my family. That's not me. I'm not the keeper. That's who God is. So then who is Cain? Cain, according to the narrative that he engaged in with God, Cain is his brother's brother. And that certainly creates an enormous offense for a brother killing a brother and not treating another appropriately and respectfully. Why, verse 10 says, for that is the reason, Cain, that your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. There's always consequence for sin. There's always a wage. And since Genesis chapter 1, even to today, the wage of sin, it continues to compound. And we see that as we consider global work and global perspective. How good it is, however, to know that God is a God of generosity and goodness and has a redeeming plan for this world. So we here see God placing the weight of his sin in the narrative of his family, which represents us today, in the full capable hands of God, their keeper. See, this story is not about sibling rivalry. This is a story about guilt and grace meeting head on. Guilt and grace meeting together. And God's ensuring redemptive plan of justice and mercy, not just for this small little family, but for the whole earth. You follow the story along in chapter 4 and God's redemptive plan, God's goodness and God's keeping ability unfolds. Cain was cast away as a protected wanderer, but does have a child with his wife, and they name him Enoch, who was someone who walked with God. Adam and Eve have another child named Seth, which means God has granted me another son in place of Abel. And you follow that story forward. Seth grew up and he had a son, and this together, this family called upon the name of the Lord. God was keeping them and being gracious to them. So if God be the keeper of humankind, what role and responsibility do we have coming out of the story? And I'd suggest to you that we take on the role of brother and sister. Three simple ideas today about being a brother and sister. Perhaps number one would be this. Being a brother and sister involves never losing hope because of God's continued capacity to be a keeper. This story is about letting God be God and about letting me be me. This is essential. By faith, we must allow the promise of God being a keeper to continually fill our hearts and our minds. We must keep in front of us continually. It's essential that we keep in front of us this invitation for all mankind to know of God's goodness, no matter how good things are or no matter how challenging and bad things seem to be. God has an ability to preserve and take care, to protect, to provide, to offer goodness, to watch over people that are living today in all corners of the earth. He never sleeps. He's constantly on guard. He is a good keeper, and we must never lose sight of that. It should be noted that the word that Cain uses for keeper or guardian is the same word used in the Levitical blessing in Numbers chapter 6. We're actually going to sing this right after this message, the blessing song, which reads, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." To be a brother and sister is to be a person who believes in the keeping and blessing power of God for all mankind. And to this we find hope. For certainly the vision of the cross is that when Jesus was displendent on full display between heaven and earth, this was a message that God is in this world today to be a keeper. And it's essential that we believe that. Number two, to be a brother or sister means being responsible. Not responsible for people, because we're not the keeper, but being responsible to people, because we're brothers and sisters. You may hear me use the word responsible a lot. And the reason is because human responsibility is required of each of us locally and globally. And I am so thankful for the community of Living Waters Church. There are so many who are living responsible lives locally and globally. Yes, we can do this. Do you remember the first time that you experienced and felt the weight of human responsibility? I remember mine. I was in elementary school, and there was a boy in my class named Jeff who had Tourette's syndrome. Tourette's syndrome is a condition that affects the brain and nerves, causing people to make repeated movements and sounds. It's also known as motor and vehicle tics that people can't control. These symptoms usually begin in childhood years and can vary from mild to severe, and they change over time. But for Jeff, as a young boy, he had severe Tourette syndrome. And there was no hiding this because of what happened in his mouth and his tongue. He had a very severe case of Tourette syndrome. And I remember as a young boy in class with him being very, very sympathetic to his situation. He was suffering. He was shy. He was obviously embarrassed, and nobody could seem to help him. I remember asking as a child for God to heal Jeff, to be his keeper through the form of healing. During my time of knowing Jeff, to my knowledge, Jeff was never healed. And I had trouble with that. God, why would you not care for Jeff? Why would you not be his keeper and his healer? And for some reason, that never happened. But in behind that lack of action on God, there was an action through that prayer. And that was, Dave, you be a brother. You're not his keeper. You can be his, brother. And I tried to be Jeff's brother through friendship and through covering and through care. That is something that I could do. I could be not his keeper. I could be his brother. And perhaps this is really what this story is all about. God's the keeper, and I'm to be a brother to another. And friends, that's why during some of these global work times and emphasis, we hold this question up in front of us. What does human responsibility mean when you are a brother and a sister to other brothers and sisters? Thirdly, to be a brother and a sister is to come to Jesus together, the one who's our keeper. How different the story of Cain and Abel would have been if rather than trying to take matters into their own hands, rather than posturing, rather than pride, they would have chose humility and came to God together. It would have had such a different ending. This is wonderfully illustrated in Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 17, with the feeding of the 5,000. Large crowds, let me summarize the story, large crowds had followed Jesus to the countryside. He was teaching, healing, and helping people. It turned to the time of day that it was late in the afternoon. A crisis was looming. The crowds needed food and lodging. And the disciples realized this growing need and in their human understanding decided that it would be best if they released the crowd so that everybody could fend for themselves. You may remember the story of just a few weeks ago in church at home. As we think this through, the disciples' action is not about human responsibility. It's more about avoiding human responsibility. The disciples knew they were in the countryside. To be releasing 5,000 men plus women and children into these small towns would have created a huge backlog of crisis of lodging and food. But as we read this story through, Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 17, Jesus calls them to human responsibility. And he would be the keeper. He would take the role of the keeper. So what does he say? He says, don't send them away. Be their brother and be their sister. Get involved. Come together to me. Bring what you have, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and let me take care of the rest. This reminds us of the possibility when we act with human responsibility. For there in that simple story, a miraculous miracle of provision happened because the disciples acted responsibly, allowing Jesus to be the keeper of the crowd. See, only God could do that miracle. And friends, it's still the need which are great today. There are certain things that only God can do. The world needs human kindness and the abundance of God's goodness and generosity, and he needs us to go with others to God. See, God will invite us into the story, even if it means we have a very, very minor role to play. And we usually do. But the role we play, while minor or major, is needed and necessary for us to be acting responsibly towards our brothers and sisters. We value the Great Commission at Living Waters Church to be a global church. And Ryan said it so well. How do we act responsibly? How do we go together before the Lord? Well, we do it as we get to know friends around the world and make those priority relationships. We pray and partner with and for people, and we give generously. Why? In closing, why? Well, it's because we care. It would be within our hearts to care for brothers and sisters around the world. We care. And secondly, is so that if there would ever be a day, and perhaps this is the day, when just like Cain asked Abel, God would ask of us today, so where are your brothers and sisters? Where are your brothers and sisters? We would be able to say, because of our involvement with global work through the ministries of Living Waters Church, we'd be able to talk about people that we know in Hong Kong, in Uganda, in India, in Russia, Serbia, Thailand, restricted access nations, young adults in university campuses across the country, and through the good work of Bible translators who are translating the Bible, God's word, into various translations, people groups around the world. Why? Why? Because we care. Why? Because we want to be good brothers and sisters, because God is a good keeper. So the question posed to us today through Genesis chapter 4, am I my brother's keeper? Probably not. Am I a brother and sister to my brothers and sisters around the world? We want to be, and we can be, and good things come when we act with human responsibility.